if you don't have a clear understanding of your numbers, whether it's the conversion numbers, your top line, your bottom line, people say, I've got a $1 million company. That doesn't mean jack crap. What matters is the bottom line.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Today, I'm excited to have Damian Lupo on the show. Damian, how are you doing?
I am good, Todd. It's good to be here, man.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you joining us. Damian, a little bit about him. He is a best-selling author in personal finance and money thinking, host of the Transformation Nation podcast, owner of 30-plus companies, and founder of his own martial art, Yokido. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Today, he leads three global companies with one unified mission to free people from money bondage. Damian, with that said, can you tell our listeners a little bit of, kind of more about what you got going on? Sounds like you got a ton going on. So,
yeah, it's so whenever anybody hears all these companies and the number just hit 42, in terms of, 42 companies. It sounds very busy. It sounds very scattered. But the interesting thing is that now there's one narrow focus. And so even though there's three companies, there's one narrow. And those other ones are sort of just on autopilot. The rest of them were either something I did and it blew up or something I did and sold it off or something. But they were all part of the foundational building blocks. And the fun part about all of this stuff is that I don't teach from a book. I teach from my experience. And in terms of like what really put me on the map and gave me a lot of muscle was building up a real estate company over about 10 years. I mean, I dropped out of college. Actually, I got thrown out of college because I put the bookstore out of business for starting one and they didn't like that very much. So they tossed me. And then I said, well, I'm probably not supposed to be in this academic lane. So I went over into the passing lane and just blew off into the entrepreneurial space, built up a $20 million real estate portfolio, and then lost it in 2008. Like I literally blew up a national portfolio. And that was an event because it was 150 houses. It was condo developments. The kind of stuff that I see now where people are building stuff up and there's a lot of craziness going on and people don't have the foundation. And so this was part of the transition I went through, and hopefully we can dig into some of this stuff and really help people get the pillars of what they need to sustain the next cycle. I didn't have those. And so I went from zero to 20 million to negative 5 million. And then I went, okay, well, maybe I should do something different. And I had to reinvent myself and then come out the other side, kind of a different person that was so different. If I met myself 10 years ago, I would have rejected being in friendship with the guy because he was such a douchebag.
Oh, I have to dig into that a little bit. So you had 150 houses. Where were they? Were they kind of just scattered? Were they?
Yeah. So, I mean, I basically, if there's a mistake that's possible for a human to make, I made it in one of the states I was operating in, state of chaos, state of North Carolina, Texas, Alabama, Phoenix, you know, Oregon, Maine. I had stuff all over the, I mean, from coast to coast, literally next to George Bush's house, I was building a $4 million remodel kind of thing. And I had stuff in Montgomery that was so bad that I lost $25,000-$30,000 on a house I bought for $18,000, because when you buy a crack house that you don't know is a crack house, it can bleed you to death beyond anything you can ever imagine. So it was all over the place. I touched kind of everything, vertical, horizontal development, you name it, I was doing it.
Well, were you buying these site like this $18,000 crack house in Alabama? Are you buying this sight unseen? Is it like a turnkey deal? What are you doing?
So yeah, that's funny you mentioned that, because there's a lot of turnkey stuff right now that is incredibly dangerous because people are buying. I had the sophistication of actually doing a lot of buying where I was in the middle of stuff, remodeling, building up my rental portfolio. And then I did stuff that was sight unseen. What I see a lot of people doing now is buying turnkeys and they have no sophistication, no intelligence, no experience. And all they have is a pitch. And they say, that's great. I'm buying into this guy I heard on this show or somebody told me about, and I'm going to buy a bunch of houses cash in a place that I don't understand, in a market that doesn't, that seems to make sense. But ultimately, I've watched a lot of those people lose 70, 80, 90% of their money because they're buying a bunch of smoke and oil. So I started buying, my ego started buying this stuff sight unseen, and I got greedy. I stopped paying attention to fundamentals, and I thought, well, shoot, you know what? I've done this 50, 60 times. Let me just do it another 50 times. I don't need to pay attention that closely. I got people. And my people didn't really care about my money as much as I did. And they helped me lose a lot of it. And it was my fault for letting go and thinking I could just be the next Donald Trump. Now, granted, this is when Donald Trump was just a real estate guy, not the president of the United States. So I was thinking, hey, you know, billionaire real estate guy. Yeah. But it's, I made the mistakes. My ego took over. And when your ego takes over, you're going to pay a price.
So what did you learn that you talk about this transformation, how you wouldn't be even friends with the previous guy? Explain that a little bit.
Todd, I would have run away if I met the guy. I mean, I would have saw him and gone, ah, yeah, yeah. And I would have bolted. The thing is, I was looking for more consumption, more zeros in my bank account. I didn't have any type of real value base or mission or anything. It was all about just more sticks and bricks. And so the transition was figuring out who I was, what was the fabric, why was I here, and what was the driver? The driver really has to do with the values that make the decisions for us. And so I had to sit still for more than 5 seconds, which is hard for us because everything is so fast. And I sat there for 2 days in Atlanta a few years ago. And I actually asked the question, who am I and what matters? And I came up with these six values that really drive everything I do and all the decisions. And then from that, I asked, what mission am I on beyond just building up assets and things? Why am I here? Because I don't think we're human beings to just collect a bunch of cash or assets or cash flow or have a job. I think there's actually something that we're here that's more important. And mine became really, really obvious when I sat in front of my dad 4 years ago and in his final weeks of his life, he looked at me and he said, you know, there were just so many things that I wanted to do. And he knew he didn't have any time left. He was done. And that was the worst possible experience of seeing regret and realizing that no matter how much discipline, how much struggle anything takes, regret is worse. And I said, dude, to myself, you are going to hit that regret experience if you don't step up and play a bigger game. You're here for bigger impact. Go do it. And I said, okay. So I was having this like internal dialogue after this painful experience. Yeah, yeah. And the outcome was that I'm on a mission to free people from financial bondage. And it will not be complete until I take my last breath. There are a lot of people that are stuck, a lot of people listening to this, and a lot of people think that they're on the path to unshackling themselves. But I can tell you that having some rental property is not the only part of it. There's more to it, because I thought that was what it was. And so I did a bunch of the rental property, and guess what? It wasn't the answer. You need more. You need something that matters, that your life is about beyond just sticks and bricks.
So what is it? You said there's more. That's not just it. There's more to it.
I look at most people focus on the security. They focus on the S's. There's really these human needs. The significance and security are the two that most people spend most of their time with. It's about the cash. It's about their job. It's about the shiny objects. I mean, I had the Ferrari. It's a very shiny object. It's a very expensive, stupid shiny object, but it is a shiny object. It's significance to prove something, because I was so skeptical of being worth anything, I had to prove it with shiny objects. If you shift away from the significance and the security of more cash, more big, shiny things, houses, you move into a thing called the peak life, which the peak stands for, it stands for the people, the experiences, the environments, and the big one is the C, the contribution. So if you really want to tap into the essence of why you're here, it has to be mostly about the contribution, the work that you're doing that has a contribution. That's what fulfills you. None of the other shiny stuff fulfills you. It's like a one-off and then you're done. You look at the Ferrari and then you go, God, I got a payment now. This sucks. So it lasts about 3 seconds. And so you got it. I think we all have to find that C, the big C, not the cash, not the cash flow, but the confidence in the contribution that we can continue to make. That's what's going to fill us up.
So what are you doing right now that's the contribution?
Knocking the crap out of people with their delusional space around money and really giving them the confidence. Because I don't think you can hand somebody a turnkey investment or a pile of cash as an inheritance. Like a lot of people's strategy with finance is, I'm going to inherit money from my parents or grandparents. That is the single-handedly the stupidest plan ever, because yeah. you're going to be a weakling. You're going to be Pee Wee Herman with a bag of cash and somebody's going to steal it from you. You're going to be a target. So my job, my mission is to empower people. It's to build that muscle, because once you have the muscle, the confidence can't be taken away when it's baked into your DNA. And so my job is to help people go through the process of going to the financial gym, you know, building this process up by doing something, handing money to somebody, and then you get a rental property and you haven't actually learned anything. You're never going to be free, because you're always going to be nervous that it could go away and you have no idea how you'd recreate it. That's the problem I have with turnkey, because you're not really growing. So it has to be more than just throwing it. It's like giving money to Wall Street, to a financial advisor. What are you actually learning? Nothing. You literally have a strategy of smoking hopium, because hope is your entire strategy. That is a bad plan.
Yeah, you've got no control. You're relying on other people for your control right there.
That's it. And that's that. You're never going to be free if you're relying on other people and you don't have control. You've got to figure out your own control. And this is your psychological control, your emotional control, your technical control. What do you have control of? With paper assets like stocks and bonds, you have zero control of anything.
Yeah, yeah. So I like your mission a lot. One of my goals is to essentially kind of do the same thing. My goal is to get a lot of more financial education inside the school system. I used to be a teacher, and kids aren't taught that. And we expect parents to teach it. And if we expect parents to teach it and they know nothing about it, how is that ever going to change? Right.
Parents, you're right. Parents teach what they know, but parents don't know. So parents teach the non-knowing to their kids.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents were good people, but they were idiots with money. And I say that in a very loving way. They just didn't know any better. And so if I was just following the path, and most people do of what their parents taught them, I'd be in the same cycle of basically poverty consciousness and building up debt, being afraid of debt, but doing more to try to prove something with stuff. And you know, I commend you for working inside that system. The problem with the educational system is it's an entrenched system mm-hmm. that does not want to change. It wants to right. keep itself the way it is. And it's built on an industrial model for factories. I mean, you literally see the way kids are with clocks that hit, there's a bell every hour. This is all, if you think about a factory, that is exactly what we're doing. We're creating kids into like little factory cogs.
Yeah.
That is terrible. kids aren't meant to be built and
it's your assembly line, right?
It is an assembly line. It's the dumbest model, and it doesn't change. So to educate people in finance, I mean, I know my friend Robert Kiyosaki and I have been doing kind of the same thing, teaching outside of that system, because it's so frustrating to try to go and break that system inside out, because you've got unions and you've got these interests that are protecting themselves and they think they know best. And the problem is they're getting bypassed by the entire world, especially in the United States. We're just getting trounced by the entire planet and technology. So financial literacy, I don't see that ever really happening inside the school system. For one, the teachers don't know anything about finance. I mean,
that is a big problem.
Think about what we're taught. Okay, here's what we're going to learn about investing. Pick a stock, and in 30 days, we're going to see whose stock is worth more. You have a $100,000 play fund. That's what they're going to teach you about investing? That's literally, okay, that's like HDTV, flip that house. Here, you're going to learn how to become a gambler, and then you've got financial intelligence. Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah, and that's actually what they do now. There is games just like that. They pick a stock and see who wins and does the best. And it's like, well, did you teach them at all about why they're picking what stock? Or did you just say pick a stock?
They said, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to pick Disney. Like I remember Peter Lynch's book when he talked about 10 baggers, and he would talk about, he was the one that ran Fidelity Magellan's big fund. And he great books. If you ever want to learn about the stock market, I highly recommend Peter Lynch's books. He would talk about how he would just be out in the public and he would look for companies that made sense, where they weren't getting a lot of media attention, but there were lines, they were full, like something was happening. And I thought, that's cool, but we're kind of in a weird area now where companies like Snapchat are exploding and they have no revenue. And so you ask yourself, well, how does that make sense? To me, it doesn't make sense. It's smoke and mirrors and speculation and way too much money that's been printed. So you've got to understand the system, and our school system is certainly not going to teach that. You got to do better by knowing better, and you have to really go outside of the system, because the system is not going to give you the tools you need.
So what are a couple things that you kind of focus on when you're talking with people about creating this financial literacy?
Well, the first thing I tell people is stop throwing your money at things that you're going to buy investment-wise and start throwing it at education. I mean, it's funny because people will spend $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 on a college education, but they get weirded out about spending $4,000 or $5,000 for a three-day seminar. That's where you're going to learn financial literacy, is a seminar, and you're going to, because it's quote unquote alternative education, and it's cutting edge stuff. You're going to meet people like Tom Wheelwright, probably one of the best CPAs accountants in the country. He's one of the Rich Dad advisors. You would hear him speak, or you can listen to Charles Schwab and their advisors telling you about economic news and the CPI. And it's just like, all BS. Like, you need to know what Tom's saying, not what the Schwab advisors are telling you. And so that's part of it. It's educating yourself in a space that's alternative, that's fringy. And then having the feedback by somebody that has your interest at heart. One of the things I think is dangerous, and I've been helping a lot of people fix this, is they're hiring coaches and mentors. And instead of getting a coach or a mentor that's simply giving them advice and really asking the questions that need to be asked, these coaches are there to pitch them investment products. And I say, well, how are you in alignment? That person makes a lot of money by making sure that you buy what they're selling. If you don't buy, they don't make money. So how is that the best coach or mentor? And I think a lot of people don't really get that. So it's important for you to understand where alignments are with the people that are surrounding you. It's a really important thing, or you're going to end up watching all your money go to your quote, your coach or mentor in a lot of cases.
I know several coaches that do that. So yeah.
This is actually hitting me pretty hard with a lot of people I'm seeing that I thought were good people, but what they're doing is they're just focusing on the whole hustle mentality of going out there and creating investments, which is, by the way, illegal to sell investments that you don't own. Like, you can sell a house you own, but going and creating investments without registration with the SEC, there's a lot of people right. doing it. And the problem is you're violating federal law. It's about scooping up as much cash as possible. So if you're looking for turnkey investments, or you're looking for returns, when you hear somebody say, hey, I can give you 8 or 9 or 10% a month. There's a guy named Charles Ponzi that did the same thing about 100 years ago, and he stole tens of millions of dollars. You're getting sucked into something, and I think that that's important for people. This takes time to build wealth, and it's about your education first and foremost. And yeah. I just really want people to hear that message, that it's about you taking control by educating yourself, not handing your money over and thinking, oh, it's easy. I make 100% a year and I don't have to do anything. Yeah, you're going to not do anything as you lose all your money.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that's too easy to make a lot of money is too easy for a reason.
Yeah, it triggers your glands. And then all of a sudden you're not thinking. You're like, ah, this is exciting. Well, you know what? Yeah. Go skydiving if you want the excitement, but stop doing that with your money.
Go to Vegas if you want
some excitement.
Cool. Anything else you want to kind of, you know, what do you think is important, or what do you see in maybe people missing on when dealing with this? You know, you talk about flexing your financial muscle.
Well, one of the things that people, as a default, the major focus for me in terms of business is helping people understand the options with their quote unquote retirement money. And the reason this is so big, there's $15 trillion sitting in this space. Most people that are listening right now probably have IRAs, 401ks that are just sitting there, and it's almost like dead money. And at best, what they've heard is, oh, I can get a self-directed IRA and I can go invest that in things like real estate. The problem is you're not really being told the full truth. And people that are doing that are actually getting hit really hard with some things that they didn't hear about, nobody told them about. Most people didn't even know to tell them about. And it's, if you're in the real estate space and you're investing and you want to have access to retirement money, you need to understand the consequences of using IRAs versus something called a QRP. The IRAs, there's a big tax and it's called UDFI. And yeah. Right now you just got alphabet soup thrown at you. So just go Google UDFI and IRA, and you're going to realize you never, ever, ever want to use a self-directed IRA for investing in real estate. You really want to make sure that you understand the QRP. And if you want to understand it, I have a book that I wrote on it and I will give you a copy. And all you have to do is go to QRPbook.com and I'll send you a copy of it. This is important because most people's wealth is tied up in their retirement accounts, and if they're tapping into it, they're going to screw it up. And if they're not tapping into it, they don't realize that they have a huge asset that they can actually use for creating wealth, for tapping into it, for educating themselves, borrowing money out of it to be able to go to seminars. So there's this huge opportunity if people knew about it, but most people have never heard about it. So
I've never heard about it.
Right. And here's what's crazy.
Can you take your IRA money and put it into the QRP?
Yeah, that's the best part. You can literally move all this retirement money from IRAs, from old 401ks, from a self-directed IRA, roll it over into a QRP, tax-free, penalty-free. You can have assets. Here's an example. You have a rental house, or you have a syndication you've invested in an apartment with your IRA. You can roll that asset into a QRP, and now you don't have to deal with that UDFI tax.
Can you do that after you've made the investment?
Absolutely. It's a rollover of assets. You're just changing the custodianship.
Really?
It's a huge, you're going to be taxed if you don't do this. So I had a guy give you a case study, a guy that came in about 2 months ago, and he said, I just did a deal. I made $58,000 on with my IRA money. And then my accountant said, you owe $25,000 because of UDFI, because you had some debt on this property. And he said, how am I getting taxed in my IRA? I'm 40 years old. I'm not pulling any money out. It's because the UDFI got tripped. And the QRP, the qualified retirement plan, this is all that I spend my time doing, is setting these up for people. That is exempt from UDFI. So all he had to do is move his assets, do a rollover into the QRP, and no $25,000 bill.
Wow. I need to get educated on that, because I've got people that invest in my syndications and they use IRA money.
And there's probably debt, right?
And there's debt.
That is one of the biggest landmines that's waiting for most people, especially as people are cashing out and starting to get distributions in syndications and real estate. They don't know this is coming. Most people that are promoting like you don't even know to tell people And
yeah,
and
then, I know to tell them, but as far as what it's, you know, that there's this other product out there, no
clue. Right. Right. So that's the mission. It's to empower people with the information and the tool and the ability to transform. What's scary is that, like, if when this happens, this guy that has $58,000 in profit owes $25,000 today. So either he comes out of pocket for $25,000 or he has to distribute his IRA money to himself, which he's going to lose half of it to taxes, and then pay the what's left, about $30,000. Out of that, he's going to pay 25. He's literally going to be left with $5,000.
Yep.
That sucks.
Yep.
But it's fixable.
As long as you do it. Do you have to do it early enough? Or could you, let's say you just found out today, you've been in this investment for 3 years. Could you do it then? Or will you still get some of the tax?
Whatever has happened in the past, most likely that is done. So, like, if you had some cash flow or distribution last year, and
that's already done.
Yeah, you're going to pay the taxes. But whatever assets you have that you're going to get future dividends, or you're going to get distributions and K-1s, you can change your problem. You can fix your problem, eliminate the problem by rolling that stuff over into a QRP. So this is not something you wait on. This is something you jump on.
You do now. Yeah. Well, that's right there. Anybody listening, this is like tons of value right there. So I appreciate that. So QRPbook.com, and I'll put that in the show notes. That's awesome. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong, our sponsor, Nate Armstrong. He's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate. Talk to him. Learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about these businesses. You've got all these businesses. You've done all these businesses. What's some advice you'd give us about operating businesses successfully?
One of the ones, and everybody's probably heard this, and it's worth saying 1,000 times because it never gets old. It's always important, is you have to understand the numbers in your business, and you have to understand them from the beginning. One of the biggest mistakes that I made, and I see almost everybody making, is that they end up doing their own books, which means they don't do their books. They don't know their numbers. They might be able to say, they might say, I've got conversion information. I know that I have 10 people come in and I sell one of them, and it averaged this much in profit. But if you don't have a clear understanding of your numbers, whether it's the conversion numbers, your top line, your bottom line, people say, I've got $1 million company. That doesn't mean jack crap. What matters is the bottom line.
Yep.
And the top line is the ego line. And what I'm talking about is gross income, like your revenue comes in. One of my companies, Precious Metals Company, I had between 7 and 8 figure company. Very exciting, you know, $1 million to 10 million, it fluctuated. And I was basically starving to death with that company because the margin was about 2%. That was before my overhead. So it sounds great. You know, you qualify for the EO, the Entrepreneurs Organization, but you're basically, you're homeless. Yeah. So if somebody were to, if I had somebody from the outside saying, okay, let's look at your numbers. So here's the takeaway. Make sure you have numbers done by somebody else. If you don't have a bookkeeper, you're not serious. Bottom line, everybody has to have a bookkeeper. Even if you're an accountant, an accountant has a bookkeeper because it doesn't make sense for an accountant to be their own bookkeeper. So have a bookkeeper and have somebody else that gives you feedback. This is where masterminds come in. This is where coaches come in. It's not your spouse so much. It's not your buddy or your sibling or whatever. It's somebody that gives you honest feedback that will cut you when you need to be cut, that'll slap you when you need to be slapped, and give it to you raw. those two things I didn't quite do very well. And it cost me everything because my ego took over. I wasn't paying attention to numbers and I wasn't paying attention to the truth. So if you don't do those things, eventually you're going to have a freight train run over you.
That's good advice. Yeah. I like the, a lot of people do, they pay attention to gross income. For me, it's like, what is that? That doesn't mean anything.
You can't spend it. You can't do anything with it. Like, who cares?
Just because you bring a lot of money in, if your product costs more than what you're bringing in, guess what? Your business is worth zero.
Yeah. There's a funny saying, if you have an airline, the easiest way to have an eight-figure airline, you know, a $10 million airline, is start with $100 million. And you can have a $10 million airline, that, you know, and then you'll lose $10 million a year. I mean, like, it's so you've got to be honest about the numbers. And this is, I hear a lot of times people say, well, I'm not really good at the numbers. I'm good at my business. I can sell, I can promote, I can do my thing, but they don't get the numbers. I think the numbers can actually be very exciting if you get them clear and clean and you simplify them. And that's the value of having somebody that can do it. It's hard. It's easier to complicate something. And it keeps people stuck and lost. It's very hard to simplify. Over the years, that's a lot of the work that I've done with people, is simplifying their numbers so that they can actually understand what the hell they mean.
Yeah, that's great advice, because it's so easy to get detailed. Everyone wants to see a lot of detail. They want it, like, it's flashy, right? To show all these numbers and spreadsheets and cool things. And when it comes down to it, we really care about just a couple numbers and that's it.
Yeah. And the thing that people miss is they'll look at their profit and loss, if they have a profit and loss, and they'll say, oh, it's up. So they go have a drink. It's down. They go, oh, it's down. Better have a drink. What they're not really paying attention to is the actual trends. Where are they heading? Because I can kind of tell you where you're going to be in 3 years. I'll just look back a year. And it's pretty obvious where you're heading, because most people will just continue heading in the same direction. So if you don't have trend lines and momentum statements, you're really not going to be able to predict the future. But if you can, and this, here's the missing statement. Most people have P&Ls if they have a statement and they have a balance sheet. But most people miss the statement of cash flows. They simply don't understand the cash. The cash is what you have to spend. Right. It's how you live. And I know it seems like at one point I had $1 million worth of credit cards and I had maxed all of them out when I was trying to save my real estate company. I thought that wealth was the amount of credit card limits you had. I mean, that was part of my thinking. And I think a lot of people think that. They go, well, I've got a $100,000 limit or $20,000 limit, and they feel wealthier. That is baloney. It is not wealth. So be really careful about that one. I got in a lot of trouble and it sunk me. I had to start over.
Wow. That's a lot of credit cards.
Imagine those minimum payments.
Oh my gosh.
Keep you up at night.
I sweat when I get to like a $5,000 credit card balance. I'm like, oh geez, I gotta pay that thing.
Yeah, when you have a card, I had a card with one of the big five banks and it had like a $220,000 balance on it. And a funny story, I remember in 2008, this is one of the things you have to look out for when cycles happen with the market. If you're a real estate investor and you're generally going to be telling that to your banks, there'll be a checkbox for who you are and what you do. And when markets start to shake or they change, this happened in 2008, I was in the real estate business and industry, and that's how I was tagged. And I had my American Express Black Card. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's a Centurion card. You have an unlimited, like, you can spend, you can go buy a jet if you want. You can buy a Ferrari on the card. And I was spending about $150,000 a month on this thing. And you pay it off every month. And I'm at Costco and I had this giant pile of, you know how Costco is, everything's a giant pile of everything. I had all this toilet paper and I am checking out. And they said, your card's been declined. And I said, I've only got like $16,000 on it right now. How can it be declined? And they said, sorry, sir, do you have another card? And I said, well, no, you only take American Express. So I left my toilet paper. I went outside and I called American Express and they said, yeah, you don't have any ability to spend right now. Your credit has been, your credit limit is 16,000. I said, my balance is 16,000. And they said, yeah, that's also your new limit. And I said, wow, really? And they cut me off. And I thought, that's the danger of thinking that your wealth is based on credit, because it can be cut. Yep. Now, this is also where one of the cool things about the QRP pops in, because built into the qualified retirement plan, you have the built-in credit line of $50,000 that you can tap into, and you don't have to qualify, and American Express or the banks can't stop it because it's built into our tax code. You can write yourself a check for $50,000 anytime you want. So you never have to worry about what industry you're in and a cycle in the market. It's a very powerful backstop for when you might actually need money and the banks tell you that you're not worth it.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that's same thing with lines of credits. I know plenty of people that had lines of credits with their banks, and they think, you can, you know, I got this house and it's based on the line of credit, and I got whatever $200,000 line of credit, and I can spend it, and all of a sudden the bank says, we want our money back. And I go,
yep.
What? What do you mean? I don't have it.
When you need it, that's when they say no.
Yeah.
When you don't need it, then they're happy to give you all the credit you want. And the timing is never right for when you actually need it. So that's, you're right. That's a dangerous thing. People think, oh, I have equity and lines of credit, home equity, lines of credit, all these different things. And yeah, when you actually think it's there, it's going to be gone.
Could be gone. Yeah. Good call. What are kind of your goals moving forward? What do you see maybe 5-10 years from now? Where are you going to be?
So it's fascinating to me. I was reading Peter Thiel's book and from Zero to One, and just listening to what he's talking about. And one of the things he says is, if you've got a plan for 3 years, figure out how to do it in 6 months. And it's not to go into this like psychotic hustle where you basically just go out there and you're attacking everything and killing everything and taking money and doing, you know, stupid stuff. It's really just rethinking the time frame for everything because things are changing so fast. So for me to say 10 years out, I almost laughed. I was like, 10 years out. I mean, at 40, I look back 10 years and I go, golly, I didn't know anything back then. So I know that I will know a lot more, and I will feel like I know a lot less in 10 years. What I do know is that the work I'm doing has everything to do with impact and the experiences. So it's about the relationships with people that I'm impacting. It's about experiencing the world and becoming more tolerant and more connected to it and all the differences that are out there. And it's about giving it all so that at the end of my life, I'm not looking back and saying, oh, you know what? I wish I'd done something different. That is not coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. That's a good goal. That's a good long-term goal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, if that's not part of your goal, you're going to have a hell of an end.
Yeah. It allows you to be flexible too. What's your favorite book or book you're reading right now that you're really enjoying?
So I read about 2 to 3 books a week, and I've been doing this for years. And the book that pops up that I love and I recommend everybody get and read is called Mastery. It's by George Leonard. He's a martial artist that passed away, and it has to do with business and life and martial arts. I think we really fixate on these moments in time, this thing that we're going to do, this accomplishment, and then it's fleeting. And if we can really reframe how we're going about life, and it's a process of mastery and it's never ending, it helps us to continue to evolve and grow. And it's not just about those check boxes that really last moments instead of are part of our life. So I highly recommend Mastery. I think it's an amazing book.
Awesome. What's one daily habit that you have that you think is attributes a lot to your success, other than reading? I guess you mentioned that you probably read a lot.
So I'm a big fan of Hal Elrod's book, The Morning Miracle, and the Savers program. And there's two pieces that are super important to me. One is the meditation, because it creates the space of stillness where you find presence, and power is in presence. If you're not present, you have no power. You literally are screwed. So I think that that's important. And I find that the easiest way for me to be in a space of meditation and presence is yoga. It's because it gets me to be still. The other thing that I do every day is I make sure that there's my heart is pumping, and it's physical activity. We're a pretty sedentary, lethargic society in general. We tend to sit. I mean, like, sitting is the new smoking, right? So we've got to find a way to get started. And even in the morning, if for a minute you get your blood pumping, with some push-ups or something. I go to the gym every morning. It's how I start, because what is more important than your health? Yeah. There isn't anything, because when that goes, everything else is done. Right. So those are the two things that are important. You got to invest in those things, in the presence and in your health. And then from there, you've got a foundation you can work with. If you lose those, I almost lost my health when I was in my 20s, when I was losing all that money, and ended up at the Mayo Clinic for a week saying, something's wrong. I was passing out. I was nauseous for 2 years. When you have that happen to you, you suddenly realize, wow, maybe I should spend more time on the wellness instead of waiting till I'm sick. And so it's hard to really get people to think about that when they're not sick, because we're a reactionary society. But the truth is, you can invest in it now or you can invest in it later. It's a lot more painful and a lot more expensive later. Better do it up front.
Well, and I think it's so much easier to do when you're young. You know, you start out healthy. So if you just can continue to be healthy, you've got a lot easier time, where I think people don't, a lot of times with health and with, you know, you talk about reading and doing stuff like that, we just kind of push it off and go, well, I'll get to it later. And then it just pushes off and off and off and off. And I started finding myself doing that with my health, just like, I'll just eat healthier tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow, or I'll start next week, or, you know, I don't want to go for a run today. I'll just, you know what, next week I'll start. It's already halfway through the week, so why start today, you know? And then it'll, like, all of a sudden 2 years goes by and I'm like, geez, what the heck is this stuff around my belly? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, I used to have like 5% body fat. It's like, that's not happening anymore. So
that there's a great book I read recently by Daniel Pink called When, and it talks about when to do these different things, like why it's easier to start on a Monday or the first of the month or January 1st or these different spaces. And it's how our brain works. So when you're trying to change things, like getting gear, it's helpful to find one of those anchor points to say, okay, I'm going to start this, because we tend to say, oh, it's Wednesday, I'll start next Monday. You got to find something that you can attach to. So it's useful, because otherwise we just end up in the middle of the week, basically perpetually.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, I could probably keep on talking to you forever, but I got one last question for you. And then we'll wrap up. What are your three pillars of wealth creation?
I think that the Trinity, the Holy Grail of wealth creation, is really finding that thing that you've got some talent with, figuring out that the talent that you really enjoy, and then figure out if the marketplace actually wants any of that stuff. And when you mesh those three things together, like, you can be the most amazing basket weaver in the world, but if nobody cares, you may have the talent and the passion, but the market doesn't care. You can also go to Yale Law and become an amazing, talented attorney, but if you really don't care and it turns you into a cog, then you're losing the entire point of being a human being. So I think it's important for those three. If you want to talk about those three, figure out the passion, the talent, and the marketplace questions, merge them together, and then spend all your time in that space.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome advice. All right. Last thing is, how do my listeners get in touch with you?
DamianLupo.com. Come visit me there. There's everything that you want to know about the QRP, about what I'm doing, the books that are coming out, Unicornomics that comes out in the fall, and any way you want to reach me, it's there on the site.
Unicornomics?
Yeah.
Did you say?
Cool. Unicornomics.
I like it. My daughter would read it in a heartbeat. She loves unicorns. She'll be all over it. Cool. Awesome. Well, I appreciate the time, and you have a fantastic rest of the day.
All right, Todd. Thank you so much.
Hey, special thanks to Damian Lupo for joining us on the show. Appreciate him taking time out of his day and sharing with us tons of value. So three things that I took from this episode. First of all, he talked about making sure your business is value-based, making sure what you're investing in is value-based, and not just about the zeros in the bank account. So I thought that was definitely really important. The next thing, you know, he talked about spending money on your education, making sure that you continue to grow and continue to learn, and you're ahead of the ball game, because it's going to pass you by if you're not always growing and learning. you know how quickly things change. I mean, shoot, just, you know, you look back now at what, as a kid, you had and look at what we got going on right now, and it's completely different. If you were in, for instance, a manufacturing, that was totally different than manufacturing today, totally different than technology today. So you always got to continue to grow, continue to learn, continue to hone your financial education, for sure. And then the next thing he talked about is, enjoy and care about what you're doing. And that's definitely extremely important as well. So appreciate the time he took from his day again and joining us on the show. Hope you learned a ton from it. For our listeners, whether you're a first time listener, you've been here for a while, love to have you subscribe. I'd love to have you go on to iTunes and give us a rating review, hopefully 5 stars, but give us a rating review. That would be fantastic. And you go onto our Facebook page, you know, subscribe to our Pillars of Wealth Creation Facebook page. Leave us some comments. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to hear about, what you're concerned about, what, you know, anything that we can talk about that's going to help you along your path. We'd love to, whether I know about it, John, who's also on there, knows about it, or we're going to have to find a guest that knows about it. We're just going to try our hardest to bring you the information that you need, whatever is going to make you grow and succeed into the future. That's what we want to do. So I am Todd Dexter, and I'm signing off. Make every day a Saturday. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.